At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
People describe their bone-chilling paranormal experience in broad daylight. Like and subscribe or I'll haunt you tonight. Not a visual one, no. My parents, however, they did. Keep in mind that my dad was quiet, intelligent, a man of few words, very rational, logical, frugal, and my mother didn't believe in all that stuff. So when my mother relayed this story to me, I knew it to be true. They were in Tucson, Arizona. Dad's brother had passed away. I do not remember if this was the trip out to his funeral or another trip later on, but they were staying at the Ghost Ranch Lodge. One morning, they were having breakfast. For some reason, they both looked up and out the window at the same time, then they looked at each other and asked if they'd seen that. It was my Uncle Carl, Dad's dead brother, plain as day, standing there by the pool, or whatever it was that the dining area window overlooked, staring at them. My mother was completely freaked out by this, of course, given that she didn't believe in all that nonsense. When I moved from Fairbanks to Wasilla, Alaska, I had to sell my old house back in Fairbanks. The price started out at $125,000. My sister kept nagging me for money because she was going through a divorce and was kinda broke. I started lowering the price in $5,000 increments. I'd lower it about every other week. When the price was at $95, I contemplated for about a week regarding lowering the price to $90,000. One day, I walked into the master bathroom and I was standing at my husband's sink when a voice spoke above my right ear. It was a young woman and she said 87. I said out loud, 87? I knew it could only be about the price of my house, so I started figuring what I would get after the realtor fee. I knew I wouldn't get 87K if I lowered the price again, so I decided to stick to my price. A couple weeks later, my house sold and then about 3 weeks after that I got the check. It was for $87,300 and some change. That voice kept me from losing $5,000. It was in Southern California, my freshman year of high school. The school I attended was less than 2 miles from our house, so I just walked to and from school every day. It was awesome because both my sisters were still in a grade school on the other side of town and both my mom and stepdad worked, so I had the entire house to myself for several hours each day. I did normal young teenager stuff, homework, chores, Nintendo, afternoon cartoons and the like. On one bright sunny day, I was in the kitchen washing dishes. This particular house had no dishwasher, so we washed dishes by hand. It was also Southern California in the early 90s, which meant we had to conserve water. The process was to fill one side of the double bowl sink with hot, soapy water and the dirty dishes. Then one by one pull each dish out, scrub it and place it in the empty side. Once all dishes have been transferred, turn on the water over the empty side or rinse before placing the now clean dishes in a drain rack. At this point in time I was washing glasses, which I had laid on their side in the soapy water side, so they could be completely submerged in only a few inches of water. As I was scrubbing the glasses inside and out I was also looking out the kitchen window into that backyard. That was when I saw it. I didn't know what exactly I was seeing, just that there was something moving through the backyard. It was just a shape, or more precisely the outline of a shape, about 5 feet high meandering around. At first, I thought it was a length of fishing line caught in the wind, except it was moving too slow and seemed to be moving against the wind. It also kept its same basic shape as it moved. The top of the shape definitely looked like a head. It actually kinda reminded me of the Predator effect, but much more subtle. I watched it for several seconds when it started to make its way to the corner of the house where it would be out of view from the kitchen window. Coincidentally, it was headed towards the corner of the house where my bedroom was located. Not wanting to lose sight of it, I quickly dried my hands on a kitchen towel and went to the back door, which was also in the kitchen, so I could go outside and get a better look at whatever this thing was. Before I could open the door, however, I heard a thunk coming from the other end of the house. I went to investigate the noise and discovered that it had come from my bedroom. From the hallway, I could see that my closet door was open, which was odd since I have an almost OCD-like obsession with keeping cabinets, drawers and closets shut. Even more surprising was that when I went into my room, I found that a shoebox I kept on the top shelf of the closet was now in the middle of the room, open and with all the stuff I kept in the box arranged in a circle around it. Since I was in my room, I took a quick look out the window to see if it was still out there, but saw nothing. I picked up my stuff, put it back in the closet and closed the door. I then went back through the kitchen to check outside to see if there was still any sign of what I saw earlier. Walking through the kitchen, I noticed that the glasses I had been washing were not as I left them. They had all been placed back in the soapy water side, but all the water was gone. The glasses were full of water, however, and arranged in a circle. My immediate thought was that the shady neighbor had somehow gotten into the house. So I reached under the sink and grabbed a big heavy pipe wrench. I then went room by room checking all windows and doors, inside closets and under beds. The entire house was locked down from the inside and there was no sign of anyone else being there. It was at that moment when I went from angry to scared. This house wasn't haunted, nothing like this had ever happened before. If it wasn't a person making circle arrangements, what if it was the invisible man I saw in the backyard? What was it? Did it see me watching it and that's why it did these things? Why did it stop? And most importantly, was it gone? Nothing like that ever happened again, but the events of that afternoon have been burned into my memory. I saw a ghost at 9:30 a.m. in broad daylight in 2013 when I was living in Tampa, Florida. I was driving back from Walgreens that morning. The neighborhood where I lived in had speed tables on the roads, like speed bumps but much wider. The speed tables forced drivers to proceed slowly. As I was slowly driving, I heard a song that reminded me of a particular time from my sophomore year at the University of Kentucky. I looked up from the road and saw a guy standing on one of the speed tables in front of me. The first thing I noticed was that he was dressed like he was back in the 70s, isn't that funny? I thought, he looks like someone I could have gone to high school with. He appeared to be about 18 to 25 years old. Then it dawned on me that the person I was looking at was transparent. I could completely see through him. I realized that I was looking at a ghost. I wasn't afraid, I was more mystified and curious than anything. I couldn't see this young man's facial features very well, but I could see exactly what he was wearing, blue jeans and a rust-colored, short-sleeved t-shirt. His hair was dark brown and about chin length and it looked very 70s style. He didn't say anything and didn't move. He just stood there and appeared to be staring at me. Although I was driving quite slowly, I briefly looked down, so I could keep the car on the road, and when I looked back up, the young man had disappeared. I racked my brain trying to debunk what I had seen. There was no way this young man could have run from the middle of the road and hidden somewhere in the second or two that I had taken my eyes off of him. It simply wasn't physically possible. I can't explain why he would be transparent either. Incidentally, I wasn't on drugs or drinking. This is an absolutely true story. I don't know what time it was, but I was 13 years old, and it was after Sunday church and my grandma, blessed her soul, and I was in the hospital. My grandma had fallen and broken her hip. I was in the waiting area of the ER and it was my fault we were there in the first place. I was having a fight with grandma, and after I communed, I rush out not obeying to my grandma's yells to stop and wait for her. Then she tripped on the clean and new floors and she fell. Anyways, I was in the ER waiting in the corridor, and I was crying when I saw my granddad, Eugenia. She was smiling at me and nodding and I just said sobbing. It's not my fault, I'm sorry, don't take her yet. When I wiped my tears, she was gone, and my sister with a family friend was coming to get me, so we can go to eat because I was 15 hours without food. I thought I was hallucinating, but I'm not so sure. I had just moved out of my parents' house into a bungalow in Elysian Heights, Los Angeles. I lived there just before it became an artist haven. Some of that trend had already started, but the house I lived in was old, termite infested, and falling apart. Later it was completely redone and was probably a great place to live. It was a flag property at the top of a hill. The first house was below mine and there was a long flight of stairs that led all the way up to my front porch. The stairs were always covered in crunchy leaves that sort of acted like a doorbell or alarm system, because I could hear people coming before they got to my front door. From my living room, I could see out both my back door and my front door, because they were on the same side of the house and both led to the same porch. There was a nice backyard space that was surrounded by huge bushes of mint. At night, I slept in my living room on a mattress on the floor, because I didn't yet have furniture and the bedroom floor was very termite-eaten. So I mostly lived in the living room and kitchen. At night, I could hear a sound that seemed like someone walking around the small one.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Bedroom house, and then I'd hear thumps on the roof that seemed quite heavy. It was so regular and strange that I began to sleep with a hammer. When my boyfriend came to stay, he confirmed that it was weird, and that it sounded too heavy and regular to be an animal. He also thought the thumps on the roof were too heavy to be an animal. If this was a person, they did not walk up the stairs with the crunchy leaves because we would have heard them coming. But you asked about daytime sightings. There was a daytime sighting that corroborates the nighttime activity people noticed at my house. Just a note, my boyfriend moved in and the two of us became used to the noises at night. It is other people who visited that kept noticing the shadowy figure, which we had heard, but never seen. One day, we were having a small gathering of people at our house. One person was a musician friend named Dominique, as known as Dazzle. He had a glam rock band called Stars for Mars. We were having some Bud Light and synchronizing our voices to sing cheesy songs like Going to the Chapel and We're Gonna Get Married. Suddenly, Dominique says he sees someone in our backyard. He was so certain that he started running after them. He described them as a black and shadowy figure with not much detail he could discern. He was so certain that he saw someone that he retraced the path he saw them take and described what he saw over and over again. The sighting dominated our conversation for the rest of the afternoon. Sightings of this shadowy figure continued until we moved out. A week or two after my father-in-law died, I was watching TV while breastfeeding my son. You know how in between shows and commercials the screen goes black for just a moment? I saw a reflection of a man during one of those black screen breaks. I sat terrified for a minute, since it was just me and my son in the house. When I looked around, no one was there, and didn't see it again. Another time, it was my daughter who had the encounter. My kids' elementary is across the street from the cemetery. There is a path that runs beside, a shortcut to the school. I like to walk and pick up my kids. One day my 6th grade daughter saw a woman in a white flowy dress, walking with me on that path. When I got up to the school, she asked me who that was. Her dress was pretty, she said. I never saw who she meant. As a matter of fact, I never saw anyone on that path but me, and she never saw her again. I was stretched out on my girlfriend's bed, 14 years old, reading by the light of the window next to me, the only one home in the apartment. I don't remember why I looked up, but there standing in the bedroom doorway was a very tall, very thin man. However, he seemed slightly elongated, was semi-transparent, and had a sorrowful expression. I knew he was a ghost, but I also knew he was not there for any harmful reason. I was totally unafraid. He gradually faded away. When my friend came home, I told her what I had seen. Excited, she called her mother into the room and told me to repeat my tale. Based on the description I gave, they said he was my girlfriend's godfather, who'd been killed in a bar fight many years before. Several days later, my friend found his death certificate in her dresser drawer. It had not been there before. At the time, the whole family was seriously disturbed. The mother of my friend was a kleptomaniac. The stepfather was a pervert, who tried to peek at us in the shower. Her little brother was very odd, perhaps developmentally delayed. Bedwetting at age 6 as well. A younger sister lived with a grandmother, while yet another girl was either in foster care, or some kind of institution. My friend, also 14, had recently been raped or seduced by an older married man. I was the only one who knew about this. There was also some weird poltergeist phenomena we witnessed in the kitchen, with things flying off the top of the fridge and kitchen cabinet. Four people saw this, all at the same time. Not sure who or what manifested this. I do believe, however, that this man came to visit, concerned about my friend. He showed himself to me, I have no real answer. Shortly after all this, I lost touch with my friend, due to my discomfort with some of her actions and behaviors. I can only believe that with all that background, she was not destined for a very happy life. When I was very young, our family home was haunted. This comprised the usual types of phenomena, pipe smoke passing by, footsteps in the hall, intense cold spots, people calling out when there was no one there. However, one morning, just once, I saw an apparition in the garden. I was looking through the kitchen window and there was an old man digging in one of the flower beds halfway up the garden. I turned to tell my mother, but when I looked back, he had gone. My mother saw others in the house, a tall man in a suit and a woman in a long dress, but she was more sensitive than I was. However, all sightings happened during the day. I myself have never forgotten my phantom gardener. New experience I had just this weekend, I just have to tell you all about since it happened during the daytime. So my boyfriend and I are in the process of purchasing our first home. This past Saturday, we and our roommate went out looking at land parcels where we are going to be living. Before we left the little town, we stopped at the local Nugget Casino to use the restroom before we got back on the road to head back into town. I had to pee so bad that I parked and turned the car off and ran inside, leaving my roommate and boyfriend in the car. I walked into the bathroom and every stall was empty. I did the cursory glance at each one to make sure I was using the cleanest one and picked the third stall in. Less than a minute later, I hear the door open and someone walk in. I could see my roommate's tennis shoes and her black pants that she was wearing walk by my stall and go into the fourth one to my left. I heard the door shut and her start to use the restroom. All of these sounds are coming from the fourth stall right next to mine. I almost joked with her while we were both peeing, but something told me that I shouldn't do that. I finished up, flushed the toilet, heard her flush her toilet as well, and walked out into the main part of the bathroom to wash my hands. I take a look to my left, as that was the stall I saw her walk into, and it was open. She wasn't even in that stall at all. Confused, I look to my right and she is just walking out of the first stall, which would have been two stalls to my right. Absolutely flabbergasted, I asked, "Wait, what? You weren't in the stall next to me?" She said, "No, I was in the first one the whole time." "Did you walk by my stall at all when you came in?" "No, I didn't. I walked right into the first stall in front of the door."
"And you didn't see anyone else leave, right?"
"No, when I came in, the only stall that was taken was the third."
"You were in that one, right?"
"Yes, I was, but I could have swore you walked right past me and into the stall to my left." Now, either she is just messing with me, which I guess is entirely possible, or something else joined us in the restroom on Saturday afternoon. Not sure what would have happened if I would have joked with whoever or whatever was in stall 4, but I am glad that I didn't. I woke up right before sunrise and opened my eyes to see a man walking through the end of my bed in a straight line. He was obviously, deliberately going somewhere. But with each step, his legs disappeared into my bed. He was wearing light brown clothes with a bloused shirt. His pants had a wide black belt and the hat he wore also had a wide black belt, both had large silverish buckles. He was not transparent even though his legs disappeared into my mattress. When he moved, my mattress did not move. He paused to look at me, but his expression changed from passive to surprise, because he realized I could see him. Then he looked like oh, this was not supposed to happen. His face looked away in his direction of traffic, and he moved forward at a quicker pace and he started to fade just before he went right through the wall. I jumped out of bed and ran to the living room, but he was not there. I have told this to friends and they have told me what a dream. It was 1984. I was 15 years old and was alone at my older sister's house. It was late morning, I had just got out of the shower, still wrapped in a towel, when I heard a noise outside. I looked out a window and watched a complete stranger tying the doorknob of the main entrance to the railing of the deck with a rope I used to walk the dog with. He then leaned a mop, that was on the deck, against the door. I called my sister, told her what happened, got dressed, got the heck out of the house through a different door and hid in the bushes until police arrived.
The house was somewhat remote with no close neighbors. Found out later the door he tied up was unlocked. No clue how long he had been lurking around before I knew of his presence. To this day, we have no idea who that was and what his motives were. Beyond creepy, definitely unexplained. I once had a dream I was walking solo down a familiar dirt path towards a wooded area. Side note, the path felt familiar to me in the dream. I had never been down this path before. As I walked toward the wooded area, the feeling of familiarity changed and the path ended at an old abandoned cemetery under the tree canopy. The familiarity suggested the path continued and the cemetery should not be there. I was drawn into the cemetery toward a specific grave. The detail was vivid. There was an old stone bench next to a sunken grave. The headstone had an angel on top. The remaining wing had a pine needle dangling off, hanging from a cobweb, drifting in the breeze. It was peaceful and quiet. I immediately woke up and felt like the dream was calling me back. I felt oddly connected. The jolt from waking up was so startling, I decided to write the dream down. Fast forward a couple of years, I was considering buying a house with my girlfriend. After we reached a house we were considering, the realtor called and said she was running late. While waiting, we walked the outside of the house. Behind the house, we noticed a path past the overgrown grass going into some woods. To kill time, we decide to walk the path to the trees. While walking along and enjoying the sun on my face, I was hit with an intense feeling of deja vu. I knew this place. As we reached the woods, there it was, the abandoned cemetery. It was the same cemetery in my dream. I told my girlfriend I'd visited this place in a dream and described specific details down to the pine needle. She thought I was trying to pull a stupid prank until she saw the sunken grave, missing wing and stone bench, and even the pine needle hanging off the angel's wing. She immediately walked back toward our car. The entire experience was a copy-paste of my dream with the exception of my girlfriend being present. Later that day, we were back at my house. She asked me how I knew all that detail. I let her read the dream I wrote down. I described the path, trees, cemetery and weather perfectly. She refused to ever talk about the experience again. That was around 20 years ago, the experience still haunts me to this day. This is my dad's story, not mine. In the 80s, my dad was in the Peace Corps and lived in Sierra Leone for 3 years. He had a motorcycle, or some sort of motorbike at least at one point, and would ride around the roads when he had free time. One day, he's riding a dirt road that snakes around a small mountainside or hillside past some construction works. About half a mile after the road work, he sees a man on the side of this dirt road on the mountain or hillside just laughing his butt off. And he was blue, not like painted blue, but blue. At first my dad rode on, thinking nothing of it. And then it sunk in, that he saw a blue dude sitting on the side of a dirt road laughing wildly. He turned around and rode back to where he saw the blue dude and there was nothing there. He kept retracing his path beyond the roadwork and never saw the blue guy again. Later that day, he went back to the village he was living in at the time and told the locals about what he had seen. The locals all laughed and said, essentially, "No you didn't, white men can't see devils." What made this even more spooky to my dad was the way the guy just completely disappeared when he backtracked. There was nowhere for him to go off the road, due to it being on a hillside, and he never found him again on the road, making it seem as if the blue man simply vanished off the face of the earth. Talked to my dad more about this one this afternoon. He said the color of his skin was, like, bright blue, like unnaturally blue, bright blue. He also said he could hear the voice of the guy in his head like he was talking directly into my dad's mind, telepathy style. In college, I lived on the 11th floor in an apartment with no balcony and it was about 4:30 in the afternoon. I watched a man walk into my apartment about 10 seconds before I walked in, and habitually bolted the door behind me. It locked automatically on the outside. I was living with three roommates at the time, so I just figured they were having guests over. No biggie. I put my stuff on the couch and went towards the back bedroom to say hi to whoever came over. My roommates had no idea what I was talking about. It wasn't a big apartment, but I searched everywhere. My roommate stayed in the back bedroom sufficiently freaked out. There was no one else in the apartment and the door was still bolted from the inside. I was walking past a church one day when I was about 15, and standing in front of one of the graves was a cowboy dressed head to toe in pure white. He looked straight out of a movie. His hat, shirt, waistcoat, trousers and boots were all so white, like an incredibly clean white as if he'd only just put them on. He was white, had short brown hair, stubble and was an average looking guy. I kept staring at him, blinked and then he was just gone. I live in the UK, so it was weird to see anyone resembling a cowboy anyway. I don't know if it was my mind playing tricks on me, but I could swear he was there, he looked so real. I was around 10 to 12 years old when I was walking home with my family. My two brothers ran ahead while my parents and little sister were bringing up the rear. I was in the middle when I got this urge to look up ahead. I had been fiddling with my iPod, and honestly, I don't know what I saw. It was a very tall, probably 7 to 9 feet best guess, lanky figure shrouded in all black. It walked slightly hunched and almost like it had a slight limp, but it moved fast. It crossed the street from our neighbor's house and passed in front of our car where it just disappeared. I should have been able to see it based on its height, but it literally just vanished. I ran and searched all around and in our car but found nothing. To this day, I can't explain it, but I was in my right mind and know what I saw. Just wish I had some answers. When I was about 8, my parents, my brother and me were hiking somewhere in Austria when we came across the ruins of a medieval castle on a hilltop. A sign said that there was a cafe near the ruins, so we went up. The cafe was deserted, all the tables and chairs were toppled, and next to the building stood a brand new big Mercedes with a lot of bullet holes in the trunk and the rear window. The car was heavily armored, the rear window was so thick that the bullets hadn't even penetrated it. We turned around on the spot and got out of there as fast as we could. Back in the hotel, my dad reported to the police but they dismissed it. Never knew what came of it. Since so many commenters suggested it was a movie set, that could very well be an explanation, but still it was scary and we didn't want to stick around to maybe find out the hard way that it was not a movie set after all. Also, why wasn't anything cordoned off, and why wasn't anybody around? Concerning the police dismissing it, when my dad called them, they said they were going to investigate. The next day, he called again to ask what came from it, but they said it was nothing. The holes in the car had been caused by children throwing rocks. Unless those children were able to throw very small rocks at very high speed, that was obviously BS, but we got the message that they didn't want to tell us and we weren't supposed to keep asking. It's such a strange memory. Back in primary school, I remember clearly that one day, while waiting to go into the actual school building, quite an amount of students gathered around a poster taped to the library on the opposite side of our school. I went there, to see what they were looking at. The whole situation was so strange, many were disgusted and frightened. I still remember that poster, vaguely. It was different pictures of cut-apart cats. In the middle was apparently a warning, "Keep your cats inside." I don't know what exactly was written there, because I couldn't read too good back then, and all I remember was the pictures. Our teachers noticed, because a few kids cried. They had that poster taken down immediately. I seriously would like to know what sick people put this thing next to a primary school. I remember our parents telling us to not play in the woods. There was one, or maybe more, who knows, person actively mutilating cats. We knew this, we didn't need the pictures. I guess the police caught whoever it was, because 2 weeks or so later, nobody talked about it anymore. I believe there is a name for this phenomena, but I would never know how to go about Googling such a thing. But this was around 2013 or so, and I was having a smoke in front of my apartment on the front steps in the middle of the day, around noon or so. I got up to head back, and just for a few fleeting seconds while looking at the building, it looked totally unfamiliar. I knew I lived there, I knew it was my home, I knew I had just stepped outside only 5 minutes previously, but my brain was giving me some kind of indication that I had never seen this place before and that there was danger inherent. I just kind of violently wagged my head back and forth, like an aggressive no gesture, and was immediately back to normal. But I'll never forget that moment. It was like my concept of reality had very momentarily just cracked. I'm not sure why this came to mind, but I still haven't been able to figure it out. Shortly after I'd started a new job, I accidentally jumped the wrong bus home. It was the same line as my usual bus, but it ran an adjunct route that dropped me a mile or two from where I needed to be. It was a Simpsons moment. The bus driver turned around and told me, "This is the end of the line, you have to get off." I began my trek to the Park End ride and took my liberties cutting through various vacant and business lots. One such lot was a construction supply yard, full of cement forms and heavy equipment. I definitely didn't belong there, so I was feeling a bit on edge as I crept through. I saw something out of the corner of my eye that startled me so badly that I yelped. It was an animal roughly the size of a small dog with long ears like a rabbit, but it was standing on its hind legs, and when it saw me, it took off, jumping the way something like a kangaroo would, bounding large distances with just its hind legs and its front legs tucked in. It was fast and it disappeared so quickly that it made the moment all the more surreal. I think some of us know the feeling. It was like I'd seen something I wasn't supposed to have seen. I wrote it off as being some kind of very large jackrabbit at the time, but when I got home and did a little research, jackrabbits don't move that way, nor are there any species that even remotely resemble that in my area, northern United States. Maybe it was some kind of escaped exotic animal. It creeped me out and helped me cover the long walk back to my car that much more quickly. A car off of the road, on its roof on the other side of a farm fence. When I got down to it, all the windows were smashed and blood was everywhere. 5 minutes later, this guy dressed in a suit and tie comes walking out of the trees that the car is in front of, claiming it was his car. Not a scratch on him or anything. So, the police arrived and spoke to the gentleman. As it turned out, the vehicle had actually belonged to his son, who had been driving at excessive speeds, hit the gravel shoulder and went for a tour. The blood was from the son being bombarded with all the broken glass. Apparently, they had crawled from the car and called their father. They were taken home, not to the hospital, and dad came back to try and deal with the car. Son was fined for leaving the scene of an accident and other minor things. Father fought the charges but lost. The fact that he strolled out of the trees towards this mangled son fire was the creepy part. Well, that and coming up to an upside down car with blood everywhere. My dad, brother, and I went to a movie theater one day in Florida. Was around 4-ish, so it was getting darker but still light out. We went up to the front where you buy tickets, and when we looked around, there was absolutely no one in the movie theater at all, no employees, no other guests. We simply walked in, looking all around to try to find anyone we could to purchase a movie ticket, but could find no one else. All the movies in each of the theaters we checked were running, but with no one else inside. So we just sat down and watched a movie, then left without seeing anyone else the whole time. It was very surreal. On a trip to Gulf Shores, Alabama. Stopped to gas up at some run-down gas station that was also a truck stop in Mississippi. Went to the bathroom, and as I'm standing at the urinal, I had the strangest feeling that something was off. This strange feeling overwhelmed the entire left side of my body. I don't claim to be supernatural or have any weird feelings or premonitions, and I have never experienced that feeling before that day or since. Anyways, I get up on my tippy toes to look to my left where the stalls were located. There was this deranged-looking white guy with nasty, greasy hair and a messed-up scowl on his face staring directly at me. The most typical-looking psycho killer you could imagine. He had to have been standing on the toilet because I could see his whole face and the upper part of his shoulders. Immediately zipped up and got the hell out of Dodge, didn't even wash my hands. My high school girlfriend and her family all talked about the ghost in their house and always said that it sounded like a man wearing boots walking down the hallway. We were all very close, and one day when they weren't home, I just walked in and went to my girlfriend's room and laid on her bed while I waited for them to get back. A man in boots walked slowly right down the hall and right past the door to girlfriend's room where I was laying. I did the next logical thing and just climbed out of her bedroom window. They showed up a few minutes later and asked why I was just standing around in the front yard and why I hadn't just gone in. I told them that I heard the ghost and climbed out of the window to escape. They laughed their freaking heads off. Broad daylight, totally creepy and very unexplained. When we were looking to buy a house, we had to shop in the more rural areas to afford anything. We were driving around on this little country highway one day and saw a sign that said for sale on this teeny little one-lane road, so we decided to check it out. We drove for like 10 minutes and never saw a house. The road just abruptly ended in a graveyard with no warning. It was a super old graveyard and it was filled with wild turkeys who just calmly sat there and stared at us, so we decided to take our leave and turn around. On the way down the road, we had not seen a single soul. The only building we saw was an old one that was so dilapidated it looked abandoned. But as we were turning around to go, we started to notice people just slowly shuffling down the road toward us. Not looking at us, not talking, just slowly walking down the road in our direction. We drove toward them, thinking they were wondering why we were on their road, but they never even acknowledged that we were there. They all had this super vacant look on their face as they slowly stumbled their way down to the graveyard. We probably saw like 10 people, all walking down to the dead end in that same weird way, or just standing in the side of the road staring blankly in front of them. We bought a house somewhere else. When I was a little girl, I was playing in my room one morning with my sister. I looked out my window and saw a man staring in at us. I told my sister to leave my room and ran to get my father. He didn't believe me and thought I was crazy. Needless to say, I had an awful hard time sleeping that night. Throughout my childhood, I...
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
I'd hear what sounded like footsteps outside at night, or my parents' car doors opening long after they had went to sleep. Several years later, I looked at our house on Google Maps. I always assumed we lived by ourselves in the woods, far from anyone else. It turns out there was a small house that looked like it was being lived in only a few hundred yards in the woods from us. My family was less skeptical of my crazy stories after I showed them that. I'd been working as the visitor services manager at the Harriet Beecher Stowe Center for 3 years. My office was on the main floor of AC 1872 Carriage House. I mostly sat at the front desk, gift shop space around me, mini gallery behind me. This particular day, it was a miserable rainy or sleeting March Tuesday. We'd had no guests come through the visitor center or tour the house. A bit before 5 p.m., I sent the two guides to close the Stowe house. Window shades need to be closed, some doors opened, some doors closed, etc. I'm now alone in the carriage house, that's pretty normal. I was alone always when the museum was closed to the public. What was not normal was the sudden stomping feet I heard just above me in the guide break room. Someone big was stomping around and moving things, heavy things. Stomp, stomp, thump. Stomp, 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 thump. We'd been broken into a month earlier. Someone had come in and taken the cash from the donation box and the cash register while I'd been across the lawn at a meeting, so I immediately thought the same was happening again. But that didn't make sense. I could see the main staircase from my desk, and the door to the other one was always locked, but the noise was continuing. Finally, I called up to the guide break room where the noise was coming from. The room should have been empty. It was a two-way phone set to speaker. I could suddenly hear the stomping and movement much more clearly. There was someone up there. They sounded angry or upset, stomping and heaving things. And then it came up to the desk. I could hear it panting, moving papers, frantic. I radio security. Our security guard wasn't far away and marched up to the break room by the front stairs while I watched the back stairs. No one was up there and no one came down, except Rod, our security guard. He's found nothing. We had motion detectors. Had someone hidden, they would have been caught. I know what I heard. I'll never forget hearing it through phone speaker as it approached the desk above me. Hear it breathe, know it was not good, not safe, bad, something very bad. My two guides returned shortly thereafter, and on the break room table was a big crumbled pile of plain white printer paper. The guides swore up and down that the table had been clear when they'd left to close the Stowe house. I should add these two guides were people I'd worked with for several years. Both older gals, and civil with each other, but not great friends. I am certain they had nothing to do with this. I've bumped into things a couple times, always it was a curious experience. This wasn't. This scared me more than I think anything else has. It was evil, I went home shaken and sat in the Stop and Shop parking lot until my husband finished work that night. I was too scared to go home alone.